In this edition of Ask Harry Rinker on WorthPoint, Harry talks with Mary Brenneman about why he loves ephemera and why collecting it is so much fun.
Hello, Harry.
Hey, hi, Mary.
How you doing?
You know what? I'm doing great. Always love talking with you. What's our topic for today?
Our topic today is going to be ephemera, paper memorabilia.
Yeah, well, you know, there's an interesting kind of question right from the start. What is ephemera? You know, most people think ephemera and paper collectibles are one and the same, but ephemera is really a much broader category than that. Ephemera is really the kind of ordinary things of life that people would normally discard. Now, you could say, okay, there's a whole lot of paper like that, from postcards to advertising cards to movie posters and so forth. But what about things like premiums? What about things like advertising letter openers and so forth? All that's also ephemera. And when you go to, quote unquote, a paper show, what you're really going to see is really a lot more than paper. And I think one of the things I want to start off in our conversation is let's make it clear that what we're talking about is just the fun little trinkets of life. You know, you can think of ephemera in so many ways. And what's fun about ephemera collectibles is you never, ever, ever have one buyer for them. I mean, that's a neat thing about them. Take, for example, a booklet that comes with Barbie that shows all the existing Barbie and Ken dolls and all the clothing. Well, you've got the Barbie collector for that, but you also have the 50s style collector, or the, well, not the 50s, but the 60s or 70s or 80s style collector, depending on the booklet. My favorite example when I'm teaching is a 1949 C&O calendar. Now, that's a piece of paper ephemera. Calendars are very much in the ephemera market. But the question is, how many buyers do you have for that? Well, you have the calendar collector. You have the date collector, you know, people who buy stuff related to the year they were born in. You have the railroad collector. You have the Chesapeake and Ohio collector. It has a picture of Chessie the cat and her kittens. You have the cat collector, the Chessie the cat advertising collector. It has some Lionel trains on the floor. You have the train collector. It's an illustrator collector. The fun thing about ephemera, and one of the things that makes it difficult to deal with, is because there are so many buyers for a single piece, it never has a single price. It always depends on who's doing the buying as to what value they bring to the object.
That's a very interesting point, Harry. I have to tell you, first of all, talking to you today reminds me that you are sort of like an Energizer bunny. It's like turning a little key. Mention ephemera, and the man goes. He goes, and he goes, and he goes.
Well, I did a book with a very good friend of mine, Norman Martinez. Unfortunately, he died about a year and a half ago. We did a book called Warman's Paper, probably of all the books that I've done in the trade, one of the books I'm most proudest of in terms of the fact that we did it. And it was very interesting. We actually had to divide the book into two parts. The first part was ephemera categories, like postcards and advertising cards and catalogs and so forth, what the object is. But then, because so many of the objects were also about subject matter, we had to do a whole second section where we had Coca-Cola collectibles, soda pop collectibles, sports collectibles, you name it, because all the ephemera can also break off into those kind of categories as well. So I love ephemera. I think if I'm going to die as in the trade, what's going to happen is the boxes of ephemera I collected are going to come down. I'm going to get buried and suffocated by paper.
you know who's right in that category with you is Will Seipel, our CEO.
Yes.
He loves ephemera too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I have to tell you, the odds and ends in life, I can't resist picking it up. Now, I just bought a piece, though. Is it ephemera or isn't ephemera? I was just out shopping the other day, and there was this box, and boxes are, in a sense, ephemera. You can almost forget what's inside of them, because sometimes the box itself is so highly collectible. But this was for an electronic face mask that women put on their faces in the late 1950s, or 1960s, went to sleep at night to make them beautiful. It looks like, you know, it'd be the kind of thing that would catch their hair on fire, ultimately, over time. But the box graphics were so terrific that, you know, it's just one of those things where you put it up, and it's a conversation piece. And that's one of the things that makes ephemera, again, so neat. If you have the right kind of ephemera, you got to talk about it.
Well, you know, this brings up to me a question that probably all of our readers want to know. But I have to tell you a little bit of a tiny story first, which is I ran into a woman in Denver, Colorado, whom I really liked a lot. She collected one of the most interesting and perhaps the strangest thing that I think I'd ever heard of, which was she collects refrigerator manuals. My question for you, Harry, is who buys them? I mean, what if you collect them, can you sell them?
Well, first of all, the bad news is we only know of one refrigerator manual collector, which means they're not going to be worth a lot of money. But on the other hand, if we know of five refrigerator manual collectors, now we're in trouble because they're going to compete with each other. I think that's one of the wonderful things about ephemera. I think that's one of the wonderful things that happened because of the internet. And it gives eBay some credit for this. We knew prior to 1995 that there were a lot of people out there collecting very specific types of things, whether it's Maytag washer memorabilia or whether it's refrigerator manuals. But they had no way of getting in touch with each other. Once we got to the net, and this is also, you know, we talk about the values of WorthPoint, fellow collectors or, you know, I hate to use that term because it's so sexist, but anyway, where collectors of the same thing can find each other and start exchanging information and so forth. Well, what happens is that because of the internet, we don't talk about 1,500 major collecting categories anymore. We talk about 30,000, 40,000 collecting categories. So why shouldn't refrigerator manuals be one of those collecting categories? And I have to tell you, if there's one collector out there, there's a bunch of them out there for some reason or other. I think that one of the reasons you can collect the mails, if for no other reason, is that appliances change shape over time, mm-hmm. and particularly they change color. I did my apartment at my school in Pennsylvania in Veracruz in turquoise, copper, and chrome, and I almost bought a turquoise-covered refrigerator from the 60s. My wife put her foot down and said, absolutely not. So we got a modern refrigerator where we could put a panel on it and paint it turquoise. But the thing about it was that, you know, there's a lot of reasons to collect this stuff. There's another reason for collecting paper ephemera, and maybe to some degree this explains it as well. And that is it's not that expensive. Now, it doesn't mean there isn't expensive paper and ephemera. Don't get me wrong about that. But the thing about it is, I mean, how much are you going to pay for a refrigerator manual? I mean, $50 would seem like the limit to me.
Well, I would think you are right, or perhaps
in fact,
I would think
$5 would.
And you might get them for free. I mean, I know that I'm looking at my refrigerator manual right now, and I know if I see any refrigerator manuals or find any, I will give them to this particular person, as she's the only person I know.
You know what? You're going to get fired from WorthPoint. You want to offer them up there for sale? Come on, Mary.
My husband does say I have a tendency to want to give things rather than to sell things.
But I think that's one of the things too about collecting today. I just got a wonderful letter in the mail. Speaking of ephemera, somebody was going through some estate and found a bunch of letters from a Harriet Rinker and just put them in an envelope and sent them to me because possibly if this person is a distant relative, I want you to have them.
Mm-hmm.
I think there is, especially among the ephemera collectors, and this is unusual because not true in a lot of other marketplaces, but I think there is a sense of camaraderie among ephemera collectors where they do share and exchange things. It's not always about sell.
Another thing I like about ephemera myself is it's highly portable. I love to go. I was at an antique show this weekend. I love to look at the furniture. I love those kinds of bigger things. But ephemera seems to me to be a lot easier to take to a show, a lot easier to take home to a show.
You know,
it seems easier to send in the mail.
Mary, did you ever hear about the weight of knowledge?
The weight of knowledge.
The weight of knowledge.
Oh, the weight of knowledge.
Yes, that's when you get an archival file box loaded with paper and pick it up and sprain your back.
Well, as a former debater, I can tell you, I know that.
Paper ephemera is very transportable. Ah. But it's just a fun category. I mean, one of the things, for example, that I collect paper ephemera-wise is I collect old trading stamps redemption catalogs. You remember S&H Green stamps?
Oh, I do.
Yeah, and, you know, they gave out catalogs when you put your filled book in and
mm-hmm,
that type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, in the old days, I used to go to paper shows. And if I get one or two in a paper show in a year, I consider myself, well, one or two per paper show. I go to a half a dozen paper shows a year. I consider myself lucky. Along comes the internet. Now my collection is over 600.
Oh, my.
Yeah, and you know, now you talk about weight again. Picking up 600 trade catalogs is a problem, too. But whether it's comic books or trade catalogs or anything, paper is just so much fun. And I hate to tell you this, but we're passing our deadline. We're going to have to take some aspect of this and talk about it in the future.
Oh, no. Okay, because I wonder if you have time for this one last question, because I think it's important.
Mary, for you anything.
Okay, Harry. Thank you. I thought you were going to say no. The question would be, what do you save? So you live in a regular house.
Oh, Mary, you've asked the wrong question again.
Oh, no.
It's what do you throw out? And the answer is nothing.
Nothing. Harry, that's the difference between a hoarder and a collector. And with that, I think we should sign off.
All right. Well, great talking to you again.
It's always good talking to you, Harry. Bye-bye.
Goodbye.
For Harry Rinker, Mary Brenneman, and the staff, thanks for listening. You can find more Ask Harry Rinker on WorthPoint at worthpoint.com and on iTunes.